Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp. Well, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Influential She. I'm your co-host, Mel Schopp.
And I'm Deb Soholt, and we're just so glad that you tuned in today, and we just have the most amazing guest. But we're going to be talking about our high leverage practice of doing. And you know, Mel and I, you and I have talked about this committee that you can have in your head, that you have all of these multiple members that are weighing into your brain, and then it just gets you paralyzed on actually moving forward and doing something.
You know, and there's just way too many members in that little committee sometimes where they just keep chattering and chattering. And then at the end of the day, nobody's made the decision. And, you know, this is just something that's really hard for some people to do. I think our byline, we talk about moving on from stuckness is what we're really encouraging people to be able to do. But sometimes it's just not that easy to get out of that rut.
I have been personally in my life in that stuck place so many times, Mel. And we have a guest today. I'm so excited for you to introduce her because she is like the epitome of getting things done.
Yeah, I'm excited to introduce Sharon McMahon. Sharon, we're really excited for you to be here today.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm a groupie of yours, in fact, and it came as a result of some other people said, you've got to listen to this woman. She's just totally amazing. I'm going to just kick it off with an article I was reading about you. It says, a former Minnesota teacher goes viral for combating political misinformation. Who is this woman, Sharon? Well, how do you get, you know, who in the world are you? What are you doing out there? This is just pretty crazy.
You know, I am just a government teacher. That's really the best way to describe it. And I'm just doing on the internet what I did every day in my classroom for a long time. And, you know, maybe taking it a little step farther because I'm not talking to 16-year-olds anymore. I'm talking to adults. But that's really the genesis of my work, is just helping people understand what's real, what's true, what's actually happening in the world of the U.S. government.
So Sharon, how did you make that decision? I mean, is this something you dreamt up and you did a big plan about? And, you know, you said just a government teacher, but I know that that's, you know, we'll get into that just a little bit more later in the show. But wasn't this something that was just kind of granular for you?
It was. I have always felt like I was born a teacher. Teaching is just kind of in my DNA. My grandfather was a much beloved teacher. And so I knew, you know, from a pretty young age that I wanted to get into teaching, but I never dreamt that this is the form that my, you know, teaching would become. I literally just started posting some short little fact-based nonpartisan videos in October about, like, here's how the Electoral College works. Here's what the role of third parties, you know, like, here's how the election is going to happen. You know, just very, very just short, sweet, simple. And that was really how all of this started.
You got there, though, in a really circuitous way. So this is what's so fascinating to me, because it makes it sound like, oh, you were sitting around and just like, I'm just going to do this. But there was sort of an impetus that made this happen, right? I mean, that, you know, we have many of these contributing factors. The difference with you that just fascinates me is that you did something about it. But why don't you give that backstory? You're in a pandemic, and what happens?
Well, I've been a successful entrepreneur for a long time, and I've owned multiple businesses and have been a very busy and successful photography studio owner for a long time. And starting in, you know, March of 2020, obviously everyone knows the world changed for everybody. And it became, you know, very difficult to work inside and, you know, all the things that everyone is familiar with in terms of what was going on in 2020. And then in August of 2020, my husband had a kidney transplant. And my mom actually donated one of her kidneys to a stranger. And my husband got one from a stranger. And so then, you know, like the combination of being, you know, sort of essentially laid off from my normal work because of the pandemic, my husband going through this experience of having this really major medical procedure, those things combined together gave me the opportunity to do something else, to just look at the opportunity in front of me and to do something with it instead of just, you know, twiddling my thumbs.
Tell us about that itch that you needed to scratch in relationship to the information that was coming out in the fall around an election, and then what you know about being a government teacher and the truth of the matter.
You know, I think anybody who's been a teacher for any period of time, you get asked the same questions over and over. And frankly, if you're a parent, you get asked the same questions over and over, you know, like, what about this? And what about that? And so spending all of these years teaching government, high school students love to try to throw curveballs at you and to try to see if they can ask you like the most outlandish question possible. You know, like, what if Spider-Man is the president and Batman is the vice president and they're both killed in a battle at the same time? Who is the president now? You know what I mean? Like, just things like that, where it's, or you're like, well, let's break it down. Who would be president? So, you know, I started seeing lots of misinformation occurring on my Facebook feed, occurring on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, all these places. And I really was just kind of like, my mouth was hanging open. Like, where would this idea have come from? Like, that is not even a little bit right. Like, have you actually read the Constitution, or are you just like inventing this? What is it? So the itch was really like, listen, this is not accurate, and you guys need to stop reposting this fabricated information. And so it really was just kind of like a little public service of like, let's refresh our memories. Here's how this actually works. Let's go to the Constitution. Let's see what it says. So none of my work is based on my opinion. It's really based on reality, like verifiable, substantiated facts. And I think that's one of the differences between what I do and maybe what other people do, is it is not based on my opinion. It's not based on trying to get you to think like me. My goal is to give you education so you can form your own educated opinions. It's hard to have an educated opinion if you have no education on a topic. And I know both of you are very familiar with this in your work. You need to be educated on a topic before you can make informed decisions. Like, wouldn't that be disastrous at a, you know, a state level, state government level, if we were just like, you know what, I don't feel like that. I feel like that's a no. You know, like, what if you had actually no data to support your reasoning or nothing on which to make a decision? So that's kind of my goal.
The interesting thing about this, though, Sharon, is that that was your goal and you started out and, you know, people started following you. Mm-hmm. We're talking like 4 months ago, you know, Sharon McMahon was, you know, you had a lot of friends on social media, but tell our audience what's happened to you within 4 months. I mean, the truth, honestly, has just absolutely pivoted you to all sorts of different things. I don't think, unless you had this plan in the back of your head, I'll tell you what's pretty amazing. So what's happened in 4 months?
No, I had none of this planned in the back of my head, zero of it. So in the last 4 months, I have, you know, kind of gone from, you know, maybe 14,000 followers to over 500,000 followers on Instagram. I've raised $675,000 for charity, just straight up off of my Instagram platform. You know, I have tons of opportunities in terms of, you know, book publishing and media appearances and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, really just because I decided to do something with an opportunity that presented itself. I'm not somebody who, you know, I'm not here to make myself seem like I'm some super genius. I just literally am a doer. I just try stuff. I just do it.
What I love about your story is, you know, you had a knowledge base and a skill set of truth within you. I mean, it resonated with who you are as a person, that you love to teach. But then you also had this body of knowledge that you have honed over time in teaching government, in being a major in social studies, and seeing this disconnect between what was going on in the world and then taking an action step. I think so many people just talk about it, but they don't take an action step. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, you know, it's kind of amazing when you do something that resonates so with your heart and your skill that how fast it can really grow. I think that's just an incredible story in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit about that moment of, okay, I'm just going to do something here. I mean, I think that's part of your DNA, but you also had to make that decision and just say, all right, I'm going to pull out a camera and I'm going to tape something here about something that I really know. And I feel like I have the qualifications to do that. I think a lot of women won't take that step. Mm-hmm. Talk about how that felt and what went through your mind to just get the camera on.
Yeah, I love that question. That really, I hear that a lot from a lot of people. And, you know, in my previous jobs, I did a lot of mentoring of other business professionals who really felt paralyzed by, like, I have to have every duck in a row. I have to learn all the things. I have to wait until I feel like I have learned everything I need to know and I have every object, every piece of knowledge, every plan in place. And that is a very, very common place for, I think, especially women to exist. We feel like we have to wait until we are the best at something before we start doing anything about it. I hear that all the time, and I'm sure you guys do as well. And one of the things I like to encourage people to think about is that clarity doesn't come from thinking about it. Clarity comes from actually doing something. I can't tell you the number of times I have started on a path and then quickly realized, like, nope, I do not enjoy that, or that is not right. And I was able to, you know, change course and do something different. Starting down the wrong path is actually vastly more useful. It gives you so much more information than just staying still and doing nothing. You know, if you think about yourself sitting at the starting line of, you know, whatever, your journey, and you have 10 roads in front of you, and you're like, I just don't know which one to choose. I better get more education. I better take more workshops. I better read more books. I better hire a CPA. I better get a coach. Like, I better do all the things before I choose one of these 10 paths. And very often, no path is ever chosen because they fear choosing the wrong path. And my position is that you're actually far better off pick one of these 10 paths in front of you. And if it's the wrong path, well, then you've closed that door and you know that that one is not right for you. And you've just gained a ton of valuable information about, like, that wasn't right. And here's why. Now I have more information and I'm better educated about choosing something else. So the idea that you can think your way into knowing what is right and best and what's going to bring you all kinds of personal fulfillment, and the idea that you can think your way into that, I don't believe is true. If you could think your way into clarity, anyone who has chronic anxiety and overthinking problems would be a super genius and have their entire lives figured out, right? Like, if you could just think your way into it, then you could just be like, well, I've been thinking for 14 years now and have my entire life figured out. Anybody who is a chronic overthinker will tell you that, in fact, overthinking is paralyzing. So I am not somebody who believes, you know, in, like, jumping in and being dangerous with your decision making. But there's a difference between being careful and being paralyzed.
So we kind of started at this pivotal moment. But I think you have a really interesting background too. And you say, well, I'm just a teacher, you're really not. But, you know, I kind of gave you your start. So take us back a little ways. And then how did you get, you're back in Duluth, Minnesota? That's not where you've been in the last few years. I think it's really fascinating what you've been up to.
Yeah, I've taught in multiple states, taught high school in multiple states. I've taught in Minnesota and California and out in the DC area in Maryland. There's so much experience gained from seeing those different educational perspectives of how different states run their educational systems. And I started, while I was teaching, I started kind of a side hustle and had some success with my side hustle, which was hand dyeing yarn for knitters, and I sold that in yarn shops all over the world. Eventually moved back to my hometown of Duluth, Minnesota, and started working on my yarn business full time and did tons of traveling around the country, teaching workshops, things like that. I eventually sold that business and then became a full-time photographer, portrait photographer, and have been doing that full-time for a number of years now as well. So, you know, I've always missed being in the classroom. I never left education because I felt like it wasn't the right fit for me. I left because I wanted to be back in my hometown. And there just were not any teaching jobs where I live, especially in the social studies. There just are no positions here. So I knew that if I wanted to make the sacrifice of, you know, I wanted to move home, I was going to have to sacrifice my time in the classroom, and I was going to have to find other teaching opportunities, which turns out I have.
Well, and this has just led to all kinds of national speaking engagements. And I really feel like this hunger for the truth mm-hmm. that you're just putting out. I mean, this is one of the things astounding about your work. And I know our listeners are going to want to go and look you up, but you are truly just not partisan at all. I mean, you're mm-hmm. really being that objective, unbiased teacher. And people want to push you into, in response that you're getting, into mm-hmm. being somewhat political. Mm-hmm. But yet you fend that off in just this gracious way of remaining objective, which mm-hmm. is probably how you fend off teenagers. And that's how you, you know, you had the perfect mm-hmm. training ground to make yeah. that happen. Talk a little bit about, you know, you just briefly mentioned raising all this money. Mm-hmm. And talk about how that just bubbled up for you. And then what you decided to do about it.
Yeah, I was getting ready in December. Beginning of December, I was almost at 50,000 followers. And somebody asked me, like, what are you going to do when you hit 50,000? Like, you're almost there. And I decided, wouldn't it be fun to do like a Venmo challenge where people can send you 50 cents or a dollar, and then I collect the money, and then I give somebody like a really great tip at a restaurant or, you know, something along those lines. And in my mind, I thought maybe I could get $1,000, or, you know, a stretch goal in my mind would have been like, wouldn't it have been amazing to get $5,000? You know, like that was in my mind, like, whoa. And overnight, people had sent me $11,000 in Venmo. And within a couple of weeks, they had sent me $125,000 in Venmo. And I spent a couple of weeks, literally just almost full time, distributing this money to individuals who needed it, to organizations who needed it, some of them local to me, some of them not. I literally was like collecting wish lists from needy families and going to Target or Walmart or local sporting goods stores and buying, you know, 30 pairs of mittens and, you know, things along those lines. So that was an incredibly moving experience to get the notes back from people who, you know, were able to give their kids a Christmas, who were able to put groceries in their refrigerator, who were able to pay a bill or whatever it was that they needed help with. It was really a Christmas that I will not forget. So I had a little bit of money left from that $125,000. And one of the things that I had said I would like to do with it was work with an organization called RIP Medical Debt that forgives medical debt. And I'll spare you all the gory details, but you should go to their website, which is ripmedicaldebt.org. And every dollar that you donate forgives $100 of medical debt. So this $15,000 that I had left mm-hmm. was going to forgive $1.5 million in medical debt. And I just kind of opened up this campaign to my followers and said, why don't we just like get to 20 grand? Wouldn't it be cool to say this community forgave $2 million of medical debt? And within 5 days, people had donated $566,000, which forgave or will forgive, it's in process right now, of forgiving $56 million of medical debt. And the idea that that is possible still blows my mind. It's that that is possible to collect $566,000 in donations in 5 days from strangers. Blows my mind.
But again, it falls back to the simple premise of you just saying it straight. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of gives me the chills when I think about what you just said about what you're able to do. But you posted something that's really powerful that I think why you have resonated so strongly. You posted, listening to understand doesn't obligate you to agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a powerful statement. As people needed that probably more this year than any year, is that they were so hungry for the truth. And you gave it to them, but it gave them the freedom then to make their own choices. And is that what you're hearing from people? I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's hard for people. You know, there's so much anxiety and so much overwhelm and so much almost like doomsday. You turn on the news and you feel like the world's going to hell in a handbasket and you don't know whether any of this is true. Is this all just bias? Is this a lie? What is even happening? Either you disengage and you're like, I can't deal with any of it. Never mind. Or you become hyper engaged at a level that is not healthy, where you're just like constantly all day reposting, constantly insulting people. You know what I mean? Like it's like one of those two paths almost. We need to remove the anger from this situation. And we need to view each other's humanity. And we need to see each other up close because it is really difficult to hate someone up close. And just the very idea that I would say, tell me your feelings about this topic. You know, pick a topic, the death penalty. Tell me your feelings about that. And then just to listen and ask some clarifying questions about like, tell me about how you arrived at that belief. And letting people say in their own words how they got there, why they got there, why they either hate it or they think it's important without arguing and without judging, just making somebody feel listened to and heard cools the temperature down so dramatically. Listening to understand does not mean that I have to arrive at the same conclusion as you. I can understand why you might feel a certain way about a topic, and I can clearly repeat back to you. So what you're saying is X and Y and Z, and the person can say, yeah, that's right. And it in no way obligates me to arrive at the same conclusion, but what it does is it allows the other person to feel heard, and it allows the other person to feel less angry. And it also is very valuable to me, and this goes for everybody. It's valuable to know where somebody is coming from. Even if you don't agree with it, just knowing where they're coming from, that's incredibly useful information. Otherwise, we're operating on a lot of assumptions, and those assumptions are often not at all accurate.
What you're talking about just really resonates with both Mel and I. We've had multiple conversations, having been in the public policy arena for so long, and just really that seeking first to understand before we're trying to be understood.
Yes.
And tapping into that fear, because people come to these opinions by something inside of them that feels, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't fit in my model of how I see the world. That doesn't, you know, that just doesn't feel good to me. Mm-hmm. But then it ends up being fueled by maybe misinformation, dogmatic statements, things that, you know, just only listening to the same kind of words and thinking that just further perpetuates digging into something that may not really be the full perspective.
Right.
And so I think that's why your work is so incredible and people are resonating with it so much. In fact, you know, it just almost seems unbelievable that the truth and just being objective about, well, this is really what the Constitution says. This is like really, you know, what the Federalist Papers were all about, not the interpretation of all of that that isn't even accurate. Mm-hmm. And you're so right that we just need more of that in our world right now. And people are at an absolute hunger for it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think you've been so successful in such a short period of time.
Thank
but then
you.
To see it grow into this financial underpinning I mean, you must feel some incredible confidence that the universe is kind of trying to prod you along with, holy moly, in 5 days, this kind of cash could be raised to do some amazing good for people. Mm-hmm. And what that felt like. Mm-hmm. I mean, so how is it now as you're moving on to almost, you know, the national stage and forum and all these talk shows and radio shows, people connecting with you? What are you thinking about your next stage of doing?
That's a really powerful statement of like the idea that there's some kind of external force, you know, pushing you into doing something that you didn't, you know, like the door was opened when, you know, COVID happened and I was unable to work at my normal job. And it was literally like, I have described it to this way before, that it was almost like the door opened and what was on the other side of the door was an incredibly high diving board, you know, like a really scary height, like 30 meters. And it was almost like this like firm but gentle hand pushing me through the door and off the diving board. That's literally how the best way I can describe it. So I know that next for me is a book project. I know that will absolutely happen. Hopefully that will, be out sometime in 2022. And I'm very excited for that. I teach regular workshops on my, platform. I teach Government for Grownups workshops that are little live online workshops that people can come to. And that has been so incredibly fun to see adults excited about learning about the Constitution. You know, like it's very gratifying to any teacher. Any teacher loves an engaged classroom. That's, you know, like that's where every teacher is happiest, is like students who are interested, asking questions, listening, you know, like engaged, excited. And so it's really kind of that like teacher pinnacle moment of having a digital classroom of students who are voluntarily taking a class about the Constitution for fun. You know what I mean? Like they don't get any college credit. Like there's really nothing in it for them other than they truly want to learn. So I absolutely have just loved doing that so much. And that's definitely going to continue throughout the next, you know, year or so of teaching my Government for Grownups workshops too.
Okay. So we've sort of teased everybody about these national engagements. Tell us where you've been, just what's happened in the last few weeks even. And I know you're going to be on some national show here coming up. So mm-hmm. just share that with everybody because I think it's really, really fun.
Yeah. I've had, you know, I had a profile on CNN and then I was a guest on a CNN morning show and I'm going to be a guest on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. You know, I've done tons of, you know, newspaper interviews with, you know, like the, you know, Star Tribune, which is a big newspaper in Minneapolis, and, you know, tons of local news media around the country. And I have a few other things in the works. I have a podcast coming out and, you know, I have lots and lots of projects like that in the hopper as well.
One thing we didn't mention before we kind of end this, you know, not only it sounds like you've got this all under control, but you also have 4 children.
I do. Yes. And one of them is 8 and she still thinks I'm fantastic. And the others are all teenagers and they think I'm the worst. So
you're a normal mom.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, like, no, they don't actually think I'm the worst, but it is a little embarrassing when your mom is like, why are you on Instagram so much? Why do so many people have to follow you? You know, like that. It's that like teenage, that adolescent angst. I think they're secretly proud of me, but they can't possibly come right out and be like, gee, mom, that's fantastic. They have to keep me humble.
So Sharon, you've talked to us about being, you know, the consummate doer. And you, earlier in the show, you said, if you just stay thinking, that's all you get is thinking. Mm-hmm. And we would have seen the problems of the world solved. And so what advice would you give to women about pulling themselves up and just getting about doing?
It really does come down to understanding that staying stuck is a choice, that you are choosing where you are. If you don't change it, you choose it. So if you are in a position of, gosh, I just don't know what to do next, I'm just going to, you know, wait until the right moment or until I feel more confident, you're choosing to stay in that stuck position. And the only way something will change is if you change it. And I always encourage people that the failure that you may face, the failure that you might worry about, the failure of like, well, but what if? All those what ifs, if something goes wrong, that often is a catalyst to something much bigger and better than you could have imagined. If you interview, you know, all of these Fortune 500 CEOs, consistently, they will tell you one of their secrets to success is to fail faster, to get out there and try stuff and realize like, nope, that didn't work. Cool. Let's move on to this next idea. That, you know, like people who have high, high levels of success in business in particular, they just do stuff. They just fail faster. Failing is actually an incredibly useful tool. And if the worst that can happen is that you gain valuable information about what is the right way to go, then so be it. Just understand that if you don't change it, you choose it.
Well, thanks, Sharon, so much. This is just powerful. And I'll tell you what, I think I could have used that advice a long time ago and could probably still use it today. So
I want to come back to your class.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Could you be my high school government teacher?
Everybody's going to want to. And we are so appreciative of your time, yes, because we know that you're a rising star. I have to say, personally, I'm just so terribly proud of you for what you've been able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And know that, you know, you're going to go places and you're still going places. So
thank you.
So thank you so much for being part of this, this podcast today.
Absolutely.
We just can't thank you enough for sharing your heart. You know, I love your grit and that you're just let me roll up my sleeves and get going kind of gal, mm-hmm. But thank yet you. Your heart is backing it up and looking for goodness in how you can make your mark by using your skills and not being afraid to take a risk, to take a chance. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be a real inspiration to everybody that listens to this Influential She podcast. And wow, everyone, we're just going to have to keep following Sharon McMahon and see how far her star rises in the universe. We just wish you all the best and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Incredible body of work. And to all of our listeners, we're just so glad that you would join us on this podcast for Influential She. We'd like to leave you with a question. And a question today is, how are you doing with the committee in your head? And are you at an intersection of a decision where the committee is weighing in mightily and paralyzing you from turning right, left, going forward, or backing up and trying again? We hope you'll just give that some thought and get about doing. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Influential She. We hope you'll do it again.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.